So recently, shockingly, I was at Chick-fil-A, and I had ordered my meal as carry out, and I was planning on going in, picking it up, and returning to my car to eat it, as I've done many times over the last months, probably years in the quarantine period here. And at this particular location, the dining room had been closed for quite some time. One of my kids was actually working out at a gym nearby, so I had been planning on going alone for dinner and eating on my lap in his very small car. So I was delighted because I walked in and the dining room was open. The tables were free to be sat at. So I grabbed my meal from the counter and I went and sat down instead of getting tucked inside my car. And as I ate, I noticed that there seemed to be a lot of new employees at this particular location who were training on having the dining room open again. There was a lot going on. There were names being called for orders to be picked up. Food was being moved. Tables were being cleaned all around me. There was even someone training a new employee how to wipe down the tables per policy. There was also this one particular woman, and I suspected that she was a supervisor or a leader of some form and title for that particular shift. And as I continued to watch her in this really, really busy Chick-fil-A hour, I noticed that she had a really big impact on all of the people that she had encountered. There was a young man who was a new employee and he was learning how to tie his apron. He tied it on the side and that was wrong. Chick-fil-A requires you tie it in the back. But she was very kind as she instructed him and she didn't seem to make him feel badly or lose his confidence. She was really patient with a new employee who was answering a question from a customer who was me about Apple Pay. She was forgiving. The cashier next to us had made a mistake in counting change as she was giving it back to the customer, and the supervisor simply came in, shared some wisdom on how to avoid that mistake in the future, and moved on. And when an employee barreled through the kitchen door and promptly dumped a freshly packed salad all over the galley behind the registers and in front of where the food comes out, this woman simply stopped and helped the employee pick it up. Same leader later noticed me standing because I was waiting for a six-pack of chocolate chip cookies to take home, and she noticed that I had been standing there for a few minutes, and she stopped and said, you know, what can I do to help you? You've been standing here a bit. I hadn't asked for any service or attention. I was just kind of standing there watching, but she humbly immediately stopped what she had been doing to get my cookies so I could get out the door. There was a lot going on this night at Chick-fil-A, and it was a really fast-paced environment. It was full of hungry customers. Some, I dare say, may have been in the hangry category and a little bit grumpy. There were a lot of new employees who were up to this task now of having the dining room reopened after probably at least a year of being closed. I have to say, I think she would have been justified, essentially, if she was a little bit rushed or maybe frustration was coming from her, but it wasn't. With her presence, she brought a certain flavor, certain attitude with her, and she was a bit like a light, calming everybody around her down and keeping employees feeling less stress. Customers were feeling like they were getting great service. She was helping people feel more comfortable and confident in their roles as they were learning these new and really fast-paced tasks on the fly. She was steadfast with the smile, her joyful tone, and she really had this warm humility about her as she was responding to this chaos that was happening all around her just in the time that I ate my cool wrap. I saw all of these things. And it really was a blessing to watch her because it was a reminder of how much our behavior can really impact people and the environment around us. It's our choices, our words. It's our behavior in general. It just has a huge influence. How we express our moods, our emotions, how we deal with difficulty, disagreement, how we face adversity really can model and have tremendous impact on everyone around us. And we have some choices. All of these things that we do can also reflect Christ, his love and his grace overflowing through us, as it seemed to do so freely from this woman at Chick-fil-A, we can have a brighter impact on everyone around us. On the flip side, we can author a story that's quite the opposite, with our presence being dim, cold to others, and one that really can suck the life and the joy right out of any room. So as Christians, what flavor do we bring to the world? What's our impact on the world? Especially when it feels like everybody's ticked lately. In Matthew 5:13, as a part of the Sermon on the Mount, we hear of Jesus telling others, "You are the salt of the earth." But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Thrown out. Salt. In the ancient word, salt was used for lots of reasons, things like fertilizing, sacrificing. Salt was used to destroy things in ancient times. And across history, of course, salt has been used and it continues to be used to consistently flavor and season things. It's also used for preservation all across history. So what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Simply put, as Jesus followers, we're instructed to be salty. We are in many ways called to be just like salt, because salt is a really ordinary seasoning. We probably all have it in our kitchens at home. And though we are ordinary humans, as Christians, it's our life's work to go out and flavor the world. We go out and we flavor it. We can make change. We can surprise those around us as we share and demonstrate the gospel. It's really how we can have a brighter impact on others. It's a brighter impact for Jesus. In doing so, we have the chance to bring our own Jesus-like flavor out into the world, and we have the opportunity to bring out the very best in the scenarios and the people all around us. At the same time as we're doing that and flavoring things, we also get the opportunity to preserve what's true and what's good. Because remember, preservation is also one of the primary utilities of salt. This takes intentionality, it takes practice, it takes devoted time with the Lord in prayer, it takes wise discernment over choices and the behaviors that follow. We're repeatedly called across the gospel to remain salty, and we hear some warnings against becoming salt that has lost its saltiness or lost its salty flavor. Luke 14, verses 34 and 35 says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Mark 9:50 says salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. The Life Application Study Bible comments, "Salt can lose its flavor. When it gets wet and then dries, nothing is left but a tasteless residue. Many Christians, they blend into the world and avoid the cost of standing up for Christ. But Jesus says if Christians lose their distinctive saltiness, they become worthless. Just as salt flavors and preserves food, we are to preserve the good in the world and bring new flavor to life." So, my friends, I ask you, how salty are you? What flavor are you bringing to the world as you interact with others? Do you season the world the way a Christ-like, Jesus-loving person would? But don't miss this. If there's a discrepancy between the flavor that you sometimes contribute and the flavor that you hope to bring, you are not alone. This takes work And none of us have this perfected yet. I make mistakes. I need do-overs every single day. But we can be so thankful. We can rejoice in knowing that because of God's work and Jesus, there's a better way that's filled with gracious love and forgiveness. We can continue to grow in our Christ-likeness every single day of our journey and strive to glorify God with our lives. God uses us to co-author his story, and he knows that his children can share his style of love. If we become increasingly similar to the world, however, we become worthless salt. It's the warning we've seen repeated here already this morning. We can challenge ourselves to be just like a seasoning that draws out the best flavor in foods. We can seek to really draw out the good that is all around us. We can seriously work with intention to have a brighter, lighter impact on everyone around us. Sermon on the Mount continues, and in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we hear that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before others. You are the light of the world. It's pretty cool. And it's seriously humbling that our Lord God sees us, sees all of you, as the light of the world. We must use our words and our actions to demonstrate his love for others. Hear me again. We are called to let his light shine before others and glorify the Father through our actions and really with our whole lives. This is a photo that is taken in my office across the hallway here. It's on my corkboard. It was given to me by my friend and coworker, Beth. And what it says, live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Earlier, as I was preparing for this morning, I really tried hard to think of a better way to say that, but I couldn't. So here it is. And it's a helpful reminder to me every time I look at it. And I hope it's a reminder that will stick with you. Our lights can grow and glow ever so brightly when we live for Jesus and we try to show others who he is and what he's like with our own presence and our own lives. That same light, however, it can grow dim if we're not careful in the face of the mundane reality of our routines, on the sometimes difficult and lousy days that we all experience. It can grow dim in the face of a very weary world that can seem to be decaying right before our eyes and drifting far, far away from Jesus. So what can we do to stay bright? What can we do to keep our own light shining brightly for the world to see Christ? After all, the truth really is that it's Jesus that illuminates us, and it becomes our duty to share with others, not allowing that light to dim. So how do we stay salty and bright in our impact with other people? Well, there's lots of ways that we can do that. But this morning, we're just going to focus in on a few. We can be loving. We can share truth and speak out. We can practice the hard work of confession. We can stand out from the crowd. We can strive to be loving. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he loved us first. And this is the truth. Because of Jesus' love for us, we love other people. We love because he loved us first. And this is part of the charge as the light of the world, and it becomes possible because of the Holy Spirit working in and through each one of us. It's possible because of the Holy Spirit working in and through each one of us. And this can feel like really hard work. can feel like hard work during those interactions where you're facing a whole lot of frustration. You're interacting with differing opinions. Or you're encountering varying beliefs that sometimes feel like they can create chasms of distance between us. The Apostle Paul wrote in a letter to the Ephesians, "Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." Here's the thing, none of us are perfect. We all have faults. We aren't perfect, not me, not you, none of us. No one is perfect other than Christ. So this means we all require patience. We all require that our faults be accepted. And remember, he loves us anyway. We can allow his love and grace to overflow through us. We can also offer it to others. And as we do so, he becomes known to those around us. Practically speaking, we can be loving as we help meet the needs of others around us. And this includes humble service and care for those in our community. But it also includes caring for those in our homes, those in our closer circles, our closer friends, because the bright light does not ignore the needs of others. We can strive to gently restore someone who is struggling. This can mean that we become good listeners, demonstrating unhurried, authentic responses to someone who is suffering. We can and we should use kind and gentler words. It means that we might need to exhibit self-control and goodness to avoid the temptation to gossip or complain about other people. Resist the urge to retaliate when we or our loved ones have been wrong and offer forgiveness instead. Colossians 4:6 boldly encourages us, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And there it is again, seasoned with salt. It is our calling as followers of Jesus. We can show a loving response to each person. We can intentionally let go of those unrealistic and unfair expectations that we place on ourselves and that we put on other people. And we can show his flavor of humble and self-sacrificial love instead. We can soften our human hearts and seek his guidance over all of this and more through the practice of frequent prayer. It requires the humble submission to God and his will for us. It requires a humble submission to God and his will for us as we seek to be loving and warm and bright consistently. It's really key to be loving consistently as we interact with the world around us. When we're able to remain loving, we're steadfast. It's like a beacon of light for others to learn about him. We also can share truth and speak out. There are many verses across scripture that call us to share the good news. As Jesus-following Christians, we are to share his life-changing love with all that we encounter. And that isn't some or just the ones that we really kind of like and make us feel warm and fuzzy. We're to share it with everyone we encounter. This is critical in brightly impacting others for Christ. Simply put, Jesus wanted his disciples, and he wants us. He wants us to share the truth of his power and the healing that's possible in him. And if we don't speak up and share our stories, if we don't share his story of redemption, the light grows dim. In Acts chapter 18, the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And Paul, in response, he stayed with the Corinthians another 18 months to teach other people of God's word and truth and love. In addition to sharing truth, there are also situations where we're called to speak up on behalf of what is true and good, even if it means we're not going along with the crowd. Speaking up, it doesn't have to equate to conflict as we so often seem to think. Speaking up can serve as a valuable source of advocacy when it's done with proper intention in a peaceful and loving manner. After we have listened, after we have learned, after we have prayed, it's then an opportunity to let our light shine and really make an impact on other people. Part of allowing your light to shine brightly for Jesus means actively dealing with issues of sin, being in right relationship with him, and remembering his sacrificial work on the cross for each one of us. Sin can most definitely cause a dimming of our light and in the life of any Christian, because it's really, really hard to shine brightly when you are buried under the weight of sin and shame and guilt and everything that comes along with it. But we need not lose hope. We are forgiven and redeemed through the power of Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. We live in the reality of his forgiveness. And again, it's our calling to share that with other people in word and deed to follow. God offers this forgiveness. In spite of our imperfections, we can receive his grace. Yet many of us still struggle with this. Many of us really struggle to receive the forgiveness, to live in that reality, and then we carry these burdens of sin and shame, and we certainly can't shine under those circumstances, let alone shine his light onto others. It's really hard to have a brighter impact on other people when you're buried under sin and shame. In the book, Be You, Do Good, author Jonathan David Golden writes, until we stop running from who we are, until we stop pursuing rules and roles and responsibilities, until we take stock of who we are and the great stories God has been writing with us, we cannot begin to pursue our calling. As we discover our stories and who God has been shaping us into, we need to accept our failings and our imperfections. Because look, God loves us. He loves us. He loves you no matter what. And when we're able to surrender ourselves to him and this truth, we can be ready to stand out and shine for him. And we can really live out our calling as Christians. It really is. It's essential for brighter impact with others when we know who we are and whose we really are. When we can deal with our own issues of sin and remember we all have them. Every one of us. When we can deal with them through repentance and confession, we become freed. Freed of the weight of shame, free of the dimming of guilt. When we actively practice confession, repent, and do our very, very best to avoid the sin again, we model to others the healing that's possible in Christ. We help others to know his love and forgiveness and grace when we freely receive those gifts and in turn offer them to other people. We can have bright impact even when everybody's ticked. Living as salt and light, it's a calling. Living as salt and light, it's really a way of life. It's not just word, it's deed and it's action. Across and throughout your life. Not just parts of it, it includes all of it. It's not just for certain days of the week. It's not just for when you're at church or in public. It is a call on your entire life. And following this call, it will impact the big decisions. It will impact foundational choices that you make in your life. Maybe your marriage. Maybe it's your career, how you handle your budget or your finances, a call to live simply. Maybe child rearing and discipline practices. It will influence a lot. But don't miss this. Shining your light most certainly comes in the everyday choices that you make, the routines that you go through that sometimes feel mundane. Those acts of kindness, where it's what you speak up for, what you speak up against. Maybe it's when you keep calm when you're dealing with your children, or maybe it's when you listen well to your spouse, how you show up for your neighbors or your loved ones when they're going through a tough season. It's how you thank somebody for their hard work or hold the door for the person behind you. It's showing patience in the midst of frustration. It's showing forgiveness and grace in the face of being wronged. Your light can and will shine brightly, sharing his life-changing and transforming love in your everyday, normal life if you let it. It's our everyday normal lives where we get to practice this with our yeses. We get to practice with our nos. It's where we have the chance to really stand out from the crowd and consistently shine a light for Jesus in what we do. And don't be fooled, because I'm standing up here and saying this. Sometimes we falter. We make mistakes. We need a do-over. And that's all part of the process, because remember, confession is a part of the life of a Christian. We keep going. We acknowledge, we deal with it, and we try again. It's part of our Christian lives, and I know I certainly don't have it down perfect. Consistent choices to say yes to Christ and no to flesh, that's how you can glorify God with your whole life, beyond an expression of Sunday morning. God's the author of our stories, and we need to step up and do our part as we live lives that really stand out from the crowd. Make a difference. Go the extra mile if you can. Remember God's faithfulness in all that you do. And it's then that our lives will serve to glorify him. Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 9 says something very encouraging. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Live as children of light. This morning, we're going to engage in communion. Stations are set up down in front. There's some stations in the back. And if you need help, just raise your hand and usher will bring these elements right to you in your seat. If you're watching from home, I invite you, grab some juice, some crackers, some bread, what you have on hand so that you can partake in communion too. The bread, it reminds us of Jesus and his body on the cross, the juice of the blood that he shed for us. These elements really help to usher us into reflection and remembrance of the great sacrifice that he made for us. Time in communion can point us to the new covenant and our lives anew in him, where we have a new way of thinking, a new way of behaving, and a new way of living. Remember his work on the cross to save and deliver you. As you engage in communion today, go before him, remember, reflect, and you can be open and honest with Jesus. If you're feeling dim or not so salty right now, if that's where you're at, ask for forgiveness from sin where it's needed, because it's offered to you. And he already knows what's written in your heart. Thank him for what he's done for you. Seek his guidance and wisdom for next steps forward, so that your presence and your life can truly be a light for him. Offer up all your gratitude. I'm going to pray for us, and then a song will play. So whenever you're ready, feel free to jump in. Lord, thank you. We offer you all our thanks and praise. You are so worthy. Thank you for your incredible work on the cross. Thank you that you would die for us so that we could be free. Thank you that you paid the ultimate price for our forgiveness. We remember you, Lord, and we seek you now. We surrender our all to you. Thank you, Jesus, and in your name we pray. Amen.